The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. This is a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show, featuring team president Ted Phillips. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening with you from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show. Tonight, head coach John Fox and his staff already getting ready for the St. Louis Rams, because that's what happens on Monday Night Football. You get back, as we did, near 6 o'clock in the morning, and so it's now on to the next thing, and that's what they're doing, game planning for tonight, as we get ready to meet the St. Louis Rams on Sunday in St. Louis. And so sitting in for Coach Fox tonight, pleased to be joined for a full hour with team president and CEO Ted Phillips. You get the whole hour, so we got a lot of time to talk.
Outstanding, Jeff.
A lot of time to talk. All right, the first thing we got to discuss, obviously the win feels great. Another dramatic game. The last five have been, no matter what, you know, these games have gone, you know, either, it could have gone either way. So you could have won all five, you could have lost all five. That's how it works in the NFL in the fourth quarter of tight games. But we got to begin to talk about the fans that showed up in St. Louis, or excuse me, in San Diego. And we fully invite you to come to St. Louis and do the same thing, because they were impressive. I don't know exactly where you were seated, but where we were very high up, could hear it, and you could see them jumping up and down through the course of the fourth quarter. It was intense.
You know, Jeff, wow. It was amazing. Our fan base, you know, at the start of, before the game started, you could see as fans were coming into the building that almost all of them were Bear fans early on, but you couldn't quite get a sense early as to exactly how many. But when that game ended and the Bears won, it was like it was at Soldier Field.
Honestly.
And my hat is off to our fans. I mean, it is amazing. I remember, you know, 20-some-odd years ago when we would go to Tampa, that was the one stadium where there would be a lot of Bear fans. And now it's literally everywhere. But the fan reaction last night, the amount of fans that came out, I remember the Tennessee game a couple years ago, which literally was like a home game for us.
They took over the streets the night before.
Yes.
Literally. They shut down streets.
They did.
And they ran out of liquor in Nashville, the bars. And they did. They were running out of liquor.
And this equaled that and maybe surpassed it. So come on out to St. Louis and don't stop there, because we can use your support. And I know the team and the coaches appreciate it more than you know.
The crazy thing, and we've seen it many times now in all these years in certain venues, well in advance of kickoff, the Chargers had come out of the locker room and they were getting booed. And it was all Bears fans down in the lower bowl waiting, you know, until they had to go back to their seats. But, yeah, it was really impressive. And, again, hats off to the Bears fans, because they showed up, and, you know, teams have done that in San Diego. I don't think to that extent. I mean, Jay Cutler was literally asking for quiet at one point in the game.
And we always talk about the loyalty and the passion of Bears fans and how they pass on tickets through generations. But when you experience that type of support in an away game far from Chicago, really,
it's a good excuse of a trip, though, to San Diego.
It is. You can't beat the
because
weather.
Because the weather was great, and we get off the plane, and bam, hit right in the face with 33-degree temperature.
Welcome home.
Yeah, we had frost on the windshield at Hallis Hall. All right, some of the highlights of the game yesterday. Of course, Jay Cutler, another outstanding performance, another outstanding effort in the fourth quarter. It's been his magic quarter this season. Bringing the team back, and these last five games have been nail nibblers all the way down, and in the process broke a long-standing record. Now, it may not be, comparatively speaking, to other teams in the NFL history with quarterbacks of great Hall of Fame credentials, but that was a record that's 1950 of Sid Luckman. So he throws the touchdown pass to Martellus Bennett and breaks the record. Now he owns eight records, all the big ones in quarterback play in the for the Chicago Bears.
Pretty impressive. And maybe it's Sid Luckman's record and it's 65 years old, but given the long history and the many, many quarterbacks that have started for the Bears before Jay Cutler came here, my hat's off to Jay. You know, he's consistently produced, and I'm proud of him. The whole organization is proud of him, and he's just going to keep adding to that record as the season goes on.
And we've already had, you know, hey, Robbie. Robbie did his thing this year, too, breaking Kevin Butler's record, and you have the significance of Matt Forte, 8 seasons, great production, unable to go yesterday because of a knee injury, but... often we look at the defensive players in this organization, but there's 3 right there on the offensive side of the ball. And if Alshon keeps doing what he's doing, look out, because he's on a tear right now.
Yeah, you know, and Robbie Gould deserves some credit, too, because I started thinking about that, and he beat Kevin Butler's record. I remember when Kevin Butler became the Bears' all-time leading scorer, beating Walter Payton's record, I do believe, at the time. He far surpassed that, and... you know, you start thinking about some of the great moments that have happened in Bears history, and I think a lot of people probably forget that Kevin Butler was a rookie on the 85 Bears and still holds, I believe, the single-season Bears record for points, 144 points that year. So for Robbie Gould beating his scoring record is a real tribute to him, and I know he wasn't overly pleased with his performance last night, but he's always been the consummate pro, and I have no doubt he's going to come back strong.
Yeah, a couple of misses last night, but, you know, kicking the extra points now become a big deal, too. So they matter in a whole different way. I didn't like the idea that they would change the rule. I like the game the way it is, like when you grew up watching it. But it has added something here of significance. It's not a chip shot. I don't know how you feel about it.
No, you're right. It's not. There's a lot of debate about that rule change in the league owner meetings. And I think right now, I don't know the exact percentages, but from 99% to about 93%. So there's definitely more of a risk. There's definitely more strategy in terms of deciding whether to go for two. So the league wanted to make that extra point not be automatic. I think they've at least taken a step in that right direction.
All right, midpoint of the season, 3-5. They're competitive in every game. They're competitive down the stretch. We know that a lot's transpired with personnel for this football team, but where do you look at things right now?
You know what? Disappointed in the record, because anytime you lose in this business, if you're not disappointed, you're in the wrong business. But definitely not discouraged. So much to build on. You know, you already touched on kind of production that Matt Forte has had and Alshon Jeffrey. And we've gone through in a year of such transition, and adding to it all the injuries we've had on both sides of the ball. Not an excuse, but it's hard to develop that consistency. I think we're poised to hopefully have a very exciting and hopefully winning second half of the year.
Coaches have done a great job. We'll get into that as well as many other topics tonight. Please, you've joined us tonight. Sit back and enjoy. We're here with you until 7:30 tonight.
The Bears Coaches Show featuring Ted Phillips and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Shotgun, they bring 4. Cutler to throw, winds up, going down the left side, diving catch by Lankford inside the 20-yard line. He didn't drop anything right there, baby. Hauled it in, and it was a beauty to the 17-yard line of San Diego.
And the Xfinity Player of the Game brought to you by Xfinity. We're going to give it to Jeremy Lankford, the rookie running back, getting his first NFL significant experience. Despite it being Game 8, Week 9, had a 142-yard day with combined yardage with 70 in receptions. That 31-yard pass catch was a beauty. Ted Phillips with us here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. He ran hard, and that was the expectation. That's how he's, first of all, he's fast. And he was really, really disappointed about that drop in the fourth quarter against Vikings the week before. So he really showed he does have good hands. He had great blitz pickup yesterday. He had the 2-point run, which is a rugged run, and they needed that run. Average 4 yards a carry, 16 yards as long as there, and that pass catch right there shows, yes, he does have good hands. So overall, it's a heck of a debut, so to speak, for Jeremy Lankford.
It was a great debut, probably better than anyone could reasonably anticipate. And just the fact that he had that kind of a performance after that missed pass the week before, a lot of young players may have gone in a hole, and he just blossomed.
And
that was great.
And Kadeem Carey too. I was waiting. I have a good relationship with Kadeem. I know he's been patient, but that patience starts to wear when you're not getting opportunities. And they started him. I thought that was very – in the hotel lobby, I don't know that you saw it, but everybody was boarding the buses, and right before I went to the stadium, I see a lot of Bears fans in there with the number 25 jersey. I'm like, who's it? Oh, okay. Kadeem brought an army. They were all there. And and John Fox and Adam Gase, they started Kadeem Carey. I thought that was pretty cool.
He did really good, too. He showed some quickness, and to have those two young backs along with Matt Forte gives us a nice stable of running backs for the rest of the year.
I point to the coaches, too, and getting guys prepared. You alluded to it in our first segment, so that has to be one of the most significant developments in the building. You know, how pleased are you with that at this point, all the changes in staff and all the overall philosophies now of that front office over there with Ryan Pace?
It's been very good from the standpoint of, you know, whenever you make changes, you're always optimistic. But then until you get into the season and you have the ebbs and flows of winning and losing, you don't know how people will react. And in this case, with Ryan and his staff and Coach Fox and the rest of the coaching staff, the attitude has consistently been positive, win or lose. And they've really just kind of focused on making sure that the players are accountable, that they're professional, that they care about being a Chicago Bear. And that's, I think, been part of the reason why every week We're fighting tooth and nail, and the last five games, I think a collective 12 points have decided all five games combined.
That's razor thin. Razor thin. Makes for some very, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it's exciting, yes, but, I mean, you're nervous. You're nervous right down the stretch every week here, and that's part of the fun of NFL football.
I'm totally okay if we have a blowout one of these days coming.
Yeah, so when you have a John Fox who's had a ton of experience in the NFL and third head coaching opportunity, which is rare in the league, and you have a first-time general manager, whatever expectations are, have they met the reality of how well these two guys have blended their overall philosophies and their resources?
Really, really well, you know. And, you know, Coach Fox, I know his focus is on winning a Super Bowl. You know, he's been to two. So he's had a lot of success. He's brought teams in that nobody had thought would do anything, and he's made a success out of them, but he's still missing that Super Bowl. He's laser focused on that. And he and Ryan just seem to really click in terms of how they discuss personnel issues. I think they both have found a common ground of being able to speak their mind in a professional way. They come out of meetings and they're focused on the same goal, and I'm really proud of them for doing that, and it's really been seamless so far.
How much time you spend with both guys, and comparatively to other, you've been here a long time.
Yeah, you said that twice already on the show, Jeff. you know, I don't want to compare it to other regimes, but I can tell you that I can tell you what I like about the situation with both Coach Fox and Ryan and how they interact with me is it's a lot less formal in terms of setting up meetings. I think they both like it that way. So I've adjusted to that, and there'll be some days where I might walk into Ryan's office or vice versa four times, and there's other times where I won't talk to him for a couple days. I want to respect what they're doing. And but it's been outstanding. It's been transparent. There've been no secrets, and everyone is really rowing in the same direction, which is really refreshing to see.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show featuring team president Ted Phillips on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap. Jay stepping up. Jay steps up, throws. Oh! The catch into the end zone. Zach Miller, touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Cutler fired a beady and a one-handed catch by a wide-open Zach Miller for the score. And it's 20-19. Bears here in the fourth.
The catch was unbelievable. It's a one-hander, and it came with flames coming out of the end of the football. That's how fast he was throwing that. That was a speed ball. And the adjustment by Zach Miller, whom I just have a ton of respect for. He's one of the nicer guys in that locker room, very polite guy who's overcome a lot injuries throughout his career, Ted, and a guy who had aspirations of being a quarterback. That was his thing. I mean, he went to Nebraska first, went to this Nebraska-Omaha. He was going to be a quarterback until he's ready to make some tryouts, and he had an injury. So they said, hey, can you catch the football? And he tight end, fullback. And that's what he became, even though he had the athleticism to potentially be, you know, one of these modern-day quarterbacks. So Zach Miller, heck of a job. That is our Play of the Week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. It made everybody jump out of their seats, correct?
Yeah, let's talk about that. That was a great catch. and I think it's gone a little under the radar. That was, like you said, that was a bulleted pass.
Yeah, it was.
And I think it was his first touchdown catch since 2011.
Yeah, fifth in his career, but it's been a while.
So how great is that?
Yeah, I mean, he's hung in there, Ted. He's worked, he didn't know if he's going to be back here. Regime change, new system, new scheme, and he's been there every step of the way. And hopefully it leads to more opportunities, give defenses something else to worry about, because he definitely can run. He's great. He can run, and he can catch the football. So he's one of those young threats down the seam.
So that was one of the exciting aspects of the game, I thought, is that you had some production from players that probably weren't expected to do a whole lot in that game. Zach Miller, Jeremy Langford. Great to see Lamar Houston come through with those two late sacks, which had the whole place just rocking. That was really exciting to see.
It was great to see the defense finish.
Yes.
I mean, the offense, and they finished this time and made the plays. How about Jonathan Anderson? Now, this rookie linebacker out of TCU, undrafted, a guy who's got a chip on his shoulder the size of the Hancock Center because of the way his college career wound up in his senior year. He lost his starting job, and he led the Bears with 12 tackles yesterday. He was calling the defense also. They switched it up. He called the defense yesterday. That's pretty good stuff for a young rookie, and he looks the part of being a Bear for a while.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't mean to forget him. He had a great game, and I think those kinds of games can really be great building blocks for young players to just have their career take off.
No doubt about it. Ted Phillips with us here until 7:30 tonight, filling in for John Fox, and he and his staff getting ready to get the St. Louis Rams game plan together. That'll be the next destination for the Bears Sunday down in St. Louis. Very good defensive front, one of the best in football, and one of the premier sack teams in the league. In fact, the Bears will be facing back-to-back weeks. Very good defenses who get to the quarterback with the Rams and the Broncos over at Soldier Field. John Fox has strong roots in San Diego with family, grew up there. Chargers, obviously a team that he rooted for as a kid. And after being in the stadium, seeing the environment, seeing the reaction of some of the people there, he's expressed disappointment that they're a potential team that will move to L.A. Great city, but it's complicated, right? It's complicated.
Yeah, it is. And Coach Fox didn't say a lot about that situation to me, but a couple times he made reference to the fact that this might be the last road trip to San Diego in everyone's NFL career. And that would be sad because it's a great city. It's a great town. They've always supported their teams. But it is complicated. And now that the league has decided to go back to Los Angeles, and there's three teams that are hot in the mix. And, you can handicap who's the favorite, but you never know what's going to come out of it. And it gets even more complicated, whereby if you end up with two teams in L.A., there's one team that's going back to their current market. And the fan base on one level will be happy because they're back, and on the other side, they're going to feel like, wow, we were a bit jilted. We were the stepchild because they wanted to go to L.A. So that needs some massaging and some work by the league and whoever that team's going to be when they go back to their current market. So.
Few people in football know the struggles of getting a new stadium built, or in the case of Soldier Field, remodeled and restructured than you. You invested a lot of your career in that, right? And you can respect what's going on in Oakland, in St. Louis, where we'll be next week, and certainly in San Diego, and those respective owners.
And one of the things that never gets really mentioned, I started thinking about it pregame yesterday, is for the teams that do move to L.A., the impact it has, not just on the fan base they've left, but on their employees and their families. And who does everybody move? Will some people say, I can't move. I need to keep my family where I'm at. Those are the kinds of impacts that, you know, they don't get talked about a lot, but they really impact a lot of different people. So it's not going to just be a positive thing for whatever the teams are that end up going to LA.
Right, because the fact is, and we'll touch more on the stadium because it's a fascinating topic and the relocation topic, is that there are only 32 jobs in each of these NFL cities for every particular job you can think of that is necessary in a franchise. So they are rare jobs, to Ted's point.
The Bears Coaches Show, tonight featuring team president Ted Phillips. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Cutler from outer center, takes, turns, play fake, rolling, open, right side, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Bears to Marty Bennett.
Martellus Bennett catches what is the breaking record throw by Jay Cutler, breaking Sid Luckman's career passing touchdown record, and I guess he threw it into the stands. Martellus threw the ball in the stands, but it was retrieved. Do you know that whole story at all,
no.
Ted Phillips?
No.
All right, so the Bears, I don't know who, or the NFL, they brought the father and the son who caught the ball. They brought him onto the field. They watched the rest of the game on the Bears sideline, and they gave the ball to Jay. And it's an unbelievable story. Zach Zabin found it out on the. I don't have the kid's name with me in front of me, but
I love that.
Yeah, it's a great story. So it's something that they'll never forget. They're not Chicagoans, but they were friends of Bears fans, and now they're going to be Bears fans forever. In the group that traveled there to San Diego to see a Bears win yesterday, third win of the year, and now it's off to St. Louis, and that's why Ted Phillips is in here tonight until 7:30 with John Fox and his staff getting ready for that particular game. Before the top of the hour news, and we were talking about the relocation, I don't like relocation. I don't think it's great for the fans, and I know it's out of necessity that it's going to happen. It's happened in several cities, obviously. What's the organization's position? Because you guys do have to vote at the NFL owners' meetings and weigh in on these issues. But from a competitive and business point of view, what is the position on relocation?
Well, you know, I can tell you my own personal feelings is that whenever you're talking about relocation, that means that there's a city that isn't supporting their team enough. And so that's never a good thing. So you want to have 32 strong markets for all the NFL clubs. When it doesn't happen, then it becomes a necessity. I don't think there's a single team in the league that says, yeah, let's have some active movement every few years. It's not good for the league. But at the end of the day, you have to do what you have to do. And the Los Angeles market's been vacant for so long. And it at least appears.
Do you think there'll be two? Right away?
That's a great question. I think there will be. And we'll see. They haven't had two teams in L.A. for
right
ever that
it's
I can think
of. It's weird to go from 0 to 100, though. I mean,
it is. You know, it is. It's a market that can handle it. They've shown that. They have two NBA teams, and really that whole area has two baseball teams as well, so.
Two hockey teams, too, frankly, with Anaheim and L.A. Kings.
True.
In the same area. Yeah, there's plenty of population. And, you know, the whole thing is about stadiums, though. You got to get stadiums built.
And there's not a lot of public money out there. There's not an appetite in a lot of big cities to pour money into buildings. So then you have teams that are left trying to be creative in their financing so that they can make it operate and have the necessary funds to run a team.
All right, let's discuss Soldier Field on that topic. At significant cost, I'm certain those video boards went up, and obviously, and fans have brought it up. They love it. What have you heard from season ticket holders about the enhancements of Soldier Field this past year?
Oh, all positive. You know, we talk about the game day experience all the time, Jeff. You know, we're fortunate, we're blessed as an organization to have that loyal fan base that we talked about earlier, that the season ticket holder base, 99% renewal every year. But the reality is we never take them for granted. At least we hope we don't. And we're constantly trying to look at ways that we can improve that game day experience. And this past year with the new video boards, high def, larger, clearer than probably, not larger than any other board, but they're definitely clearer than any other board. And I think we're set now for the next 10 or 15 years where we have the kind of flexibility to be able to program those boards and give the fans what they want, which at least for now is they want to see more highlights. They want to see more stats. They want to see more replays. And I think we're delivering on that. I've heard that from fans. It was time. We've been in, it's hard to believe, but we've been in the new Soldier Field for 13 seasons now.
It went by fast. Bears All Access is coming up. It's brought to you by Sports Authority. You can listen in this Wednesday, 6 p.m. on WSCR 780 a.m., part of the, 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
The Bears Coaches Show with Ted Phillips and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Takes the snap. Bears rush three. It's a strong push, and they chop down Rivers. Down he goes. Lamar Houston, the sack. Snap Rivers. Hit again. Sacked again. They did it again. Lamar Houston, back-to-back sacks.
Not quite back-to-back, but there was one play in between, and it was a heck of an effort, though. He had no way anybody was stopping Lamar Houston on those two rushes against Joe Barksdale, his old Oakland Raider teammate at right tackle for the Chargers yesterday. Welcome back into the Bears Coaches Show with our special guest tonight, Team President and CEO Ted Phillips, with John Fox and his staff getting ready for the Rams. All right, let's pick up where we left off before the break. Let's talk about at Soldier Field, much discussion and in fairness, probably some angst from fans regarding the Lucas Museum plans and the development and how it will or might impact tailgaters in that south parking lot. And how does the city and the park district blend the two and preserve this great Bears tradition?
Well, Jeff, there was some angst, and it wasn't just from the fans. It was from our organization, too, because if truth be told, when we were told about the Lucas Museum coming to the lakefront, if we had our druthers, we would have rather it. We're all for the museum coming to Chicago and bringing in more tourism dollars, but we didn't want it on the lakefront. But when we sat back and had this many discussions with the park district and the city, had to make the difficult decision to kind of go with it, but at the same time, we weren't going to just agree to let the Lucas Museum here without looking at what is the impact on our fans. And we love the tailgating opportunity, and we already know, everyone knows, that there's not enough on the lakefront. So at the end of the day now, and there's still a lot of work to be done, we kept pushing the fan experience and how can we improve it. So assuming the Lucas Museum does get built, because there is some outstanding litigation that's still hasn't been resolved, and until it's resolved, they can't build, we're going to end up with at least 1,000 more parking spots for our fans and an increase of a couple hundred additional tailgating spots. The difference will be it won't be all in this, well, it hasn't all been in the south parking lot, but I'm focused on those 1,500 spots in the south parking lot. Those will be divided between maybe six or seven different locations, some of them on Northerly Island, some of them on the museum campus. There's a lot in Grant Park that will hold a couple hundred cars. So it'll be a different experience, but I think once the fans get used to it, it'll be just as good, if not a better, tailgating experience, and that's what we're hoping for.
If, in fact, this does all go through and they begin construction, how interfering is it going to be and for how long of a period of time?
Well, and that's what we don't know, but we've tried to cover our bases for our fans in that they're telling us that it could be a three-year construction period, so it could affect three seasons at Soldier Field. If it does, then during that construction period when our fans are parked in different lots because construction's occurring at the south lot, they will have a free shuttle service for them. We've also got provisions in our agreement, again, looking to the fans, that if somehow the city can't start the construction in March of 16, which is their goal, then if somehow it starts during our season, then the fans have to be relocated during the season to other parking lots, and they will then park for the rest of the season for free. So we're trying to cover all the possibilities here in an uncertain situation. But at the end of the day, we felt that by having additional parking, additional tailgating, and having some really good dialogue with the city agencies that control the traffic in and out of the museum campus, that we might even get to the point where the flow of traffic has improved a bit, or at least isn't worse than it is now.
Is there any financial component that benefits the Bears in this for future capital improvements to Soldier Field?
Well, that was another big element in that we told the city and the park district that what we really wanted, because we've been talking about possible improvements to Soldier Field over the next number of years, and obviously with public money kind of dried up, we'll have to front that. So we were able to get some assets to sell, but we're not selling it to make money. We're pouring it all back into Soldier Field. We're in the process now of looking at a whole host of possible improvements. I don't know if they'll all come to fruition. Part of it's going to depend on when you can start another construction project besides the Lucas Museum on the lakefront. But we're looking at everything from new premium seating ideas to more of a plaza environment and a park-like environment for fans on the north and south part of the stadium. Those are in there. Possible widening of some of the concourses and adding some concession stands and restrooms throughout the building.
About capacity?
Capacity, I've seen the reports that there might be another 7,000 seats. I don't see that happening. One of the ideas was to create another general admission deck in the north end zone. When we looked at it, one of the features that I think our fans always have loved at Soldier Field is the closeness of the seats to the field and the great sight lines. And we thought by adding another deck, it would be so far away from the field that just didn't make sense to us. So we're going to look at other ideas.
And after being in San Diego, where everything is very far away from the field, believe me, you'll notice it's a big difference. We'll continue one more segment with Ted Phillips as we continue on here on the Bears Coaches Show.
The Bears Coaches Show with Team President Ted Phillips continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Cutler winding up, going deep for Jeffrey, underthrown, but caught down the right side. Lenny steps out of bounds inside the Charger 35-yard line. So Adam Gase dials it up big time, and Jay goes deep to Jeffrey. Snap is back. Here comes pressure. Cutler throws off his back foot.
Oh, my God.
And a hand catch at the 25. Ripped by Alshon Jeffrey for a first down. Are you kidding me? He was falling down, just stuck his mitts up there and squeezed the rock.
Yeah, it was a couple of great catches. Back-to-back 10 catch games for Alshon Jeffrey. He's making noise in the league. People are noticing. 10 against Minnesota, 10 against San Diego last night for 151 yards in the Bears' win over the Chargers, having an impactful return after his injury. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show, and the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week, Jermon Bushrod hosting a fashion event for charity. Super Bowl 20 champs delivering gold footballs to their high schools in celebration of Super Bowl 50, and former Bear Nathan Vasher recreating his record-setting touchdown return. All right, Ted Phillips with us here tonight. Capital improvements we were discussing in our last segment. The PNC partnership, very impactful, obviously. The naming rights here at Hallis Hall, this PNC studio, and everything comes with it. Very rewarding for the franchise, I'd imagine, and a big hit with the sponsor itself and PNC.
Yeah, they've been a great partner so far as our new Financial Hall of Fame partner. And I think what that PNC studio and the PNC Center does, not just for PNC but for all our partners, is it gives them a really the opportunity to have unique experiences. And that's what business partners and frankly, fans are looking for more nowadays, is they want unique experiences. They don't just want signage. So it really does that, along with, obviously, the ability to have our shows, whether they're digital or TV or radio shows, really in the building. They don't interrupt the football operations. At the same time, they're easily accessible for the coaches and the players.
How far are you looking ahead when you're planning things? I mean, you've done a lot. What's in the pipeline? I mean, do you have to look out 10, 15, 20 years in advance? I mean, are you still looking at improvements here to this building, even though you just invested a lot in it?
Yeah, you know, it's only been 2 years since we renovated Hallis Hall, but already we actually are starting to begin to look at, you know, do we add another addition? Do we need to look at adding another field? What type of field for the football team? And those are things that we're always ruminating on, and we never stop looking at trying to enhance the work environment here for everyone and also the game day experience for our fans at Soldier Field.
Draft is back in Chicago. It was a big hit. Everybody, the city sparkled. So it must have made an impression on the NFL, maybe that they fully didn't anticipate, because they crowed about how great it was, too, afterwards. And everybody that was involved won it, and fans, most importantly, got a big kick out of it. So it's back, and as the organization's input in it as well makes everything look good. It makes Chicago look great, and it really emphasizes just what a great football town this is.
I'm excited for the city. There's no better marketing tool than to see the Chicago skyline on TV constantly during the draft. It just sparkles. And I'm excited to see what kind of new changes come about for the draft. And the league is excited about it. But they're so excited about it that now there's other cities that want to get into the mix. So it sounds like after this year, it will probably rotate to some other cities because everyone sees the value in it.
London's always calling. The NFL loves London. So at least three games, maybe more in the future, a second stadium being built that will house games. How do you look at that as a franchise, and will it potentially include other international cities and down the road, and that the Bears might be more interested in?
Well, there's no doubt that the league is very interested and bullish on international opportunities. It obviously causes, from a football standpoint, a total disruption in how teams prepare for those games. We right now would, we haven't played internationally since I think 2011 when we were in London against the Tampa Bucks. And so our turns coming up again is more international games get scheduled. We actually would like to take a look at maybe being able to play a game in Mexico. I think it would work better from a football standpoint, being in that same time zone. And we've really ramped up our efforts in the Hispanic community. We've gotten great responses from that community. There's a lot of Bear fans, and that would just enhance different opportunities for us to keep increasing our Hispanic fan base in Chicago.
All right, one football / economics question regarding the salary cap, and a lot's been written already about how it's going to blossom in 2016, and everybody's going to be flush with money. With a general manager who has consistently said he wants to build through the draft, it's quite a dynamic that many franchises are going to be dealing with here. Is that in fact or fiction about this flush of money coming?
Well, it's hard to know. You know, the cap went up quite a bit this past year. I think it is going to go up a bit. We're positioned to have a really solid amount of cap space. It'll just give us flexibility. Yes, we want to grow with the draft and be a draft-driven team at the same time. There's always opportunities to find value players in free agency that can increase the competition on our roster and increase the talent level, and that's what we need.
We covered many topics, but now we got to go. That's Team President and CEO Ted Phillips. Thank you very
much for
joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been fun.
That's going to wrap us up on the Bears Coaches Show. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. For Bears President and CEO Ted Phillips, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to our producer, Greg Miller, our producer, Andy Gersher, back in our studio, along with Keith Johnson. Bears trip down to St. Louis. We'll have it for you with a 9 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff Sunday against the Rams. That'll wrap us up tonight. Good night, everybody. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.